Shabbat shalom.
So here's a current events question that you might be able to find on an SAT or an achievement test. Multiple choice. What is the common denominator between the following individuals? John Galliano, Charlie Sheen, Julian Assange, Louis Farrakhan, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Is it A, they are all men, B, they are all in the public eye, C, they are all under public pressure, D, they blame part of that public pressure on the Jews, or E, all of the above? We have high achievers here, I see. That's good. And they've all blamed the Jews in 1 week, in the same week. What do they want from us? Why us? You have problems with your boss, or you have problems with reporters. Why go from there to it's the darn Jews? It's always the Jews. Sometimes, as in Julian Assange's case, the person he has a problem with isn't even Jewish. Just as he said, sort of Jewish, because the person's brother-in-law is a Jew. The range and the scope of this obsession is really fascinating to me. You have the plain garden variety anti-Semitism, as in superstar fashion designer John Galliano of Christian Dior. It's the type of Jew obsession that takes your breath away, because it comes out of the blue, out of nowhere, not connected to anything really. It's just inside of the person, and no one knows it's there until it comes out. And then you say to yourself, whoa, where did that come from? Galliano happened to be sitting in a Parisian bistro and was filmed saying to two women who he took to be Jews, who ended up not being Jews, people like you ought to be dead. Your mothers, your fathers would all be bleeping gassed. He added the expletive for emphasis, I guess, to stress how strongly he feels about it. Now, to be fair, Galliano seemed inebriated. You can watch the YouTube clip, by the way. I did. I watched it. He seemed pretty drunk. But as Jewish tradition cautions, when alcohol goes in, truth comes out. In a somewhat similar vein, we had Charlie Sheen's outburst this week. If Galliano was inebriated, Sheen is, man, he's way out there. Sheen has said so many things, too many things. The guy can't keep his mouth shut. But most of this river of disconnected thoughts was not connected to Jews at all. But he had this little tidbit. He referred to CBS producer Chuck Lorre as Chaim Levine. Now, I think that Chaim Levine is a fine name. There's nothing wrong with Chaim Levine. Chaim means life, and Levine comes from the word Levi, meaning the one who serves or the one who is joined with God. I don't know if that was Chuck Lorre's Hebrew name or if he Americanized his name. I don't know, but I think that Chaim Levine is a good name. I wish more Jewish parents would name their kids Chaim. But Sheen meant it as sort of an insult, and that's the way it was taken by almost everyone who heard it. I did find it interesting that in defending himself, Sheen pointed out all of the friends who contacted him to express their support, including Mel bleeping Jews, they're responsible for all the world wars in the world, Gibson, whom Sheen called a beautiful man. And then we had two examples of people who are wacko about Jews. But they are exceedingly dangerous because they're in the public eye and use the public airwaves and have enormous power. And part of that power has been accumulated precisely because they're anti-Semitic. They have an even darker element of Jew hatred. It's about conspiracies. It's about power. This type of Jew hatred leads to violence, death, and mass murder. You catch the bizarre ranting of the Iranian president this week, Ahmadinejad? He looked at the 2012 London Olympics logo and was convinced that it spelled the word Zion. The head of Iran's Olympic Committee complained that this is a very revolting act. Now you go and look online. You go and find the London 2012 Olympic logo, and you look at it carefully. You look at it as long as you want, and you tell me whether you see the word Zion in there. I remember the battery of psychological tests that I endured getting into rabbinical school. We had these Rorschach tests, you know, the psychologist would sit with us and she showed me pictures for half an hour to see what patterns I saw in them. I never really understood what I was supposed to see, what was politically correct to say, or psychologically healthy. But I guess I was normal enough because they let me into rabbinical school. But this guy who sees the word Zion in the Olympic logo, he wouldn't even get into dog catching school, let alone be the president of a great Persian civilization and sitting on an arsenal that may soon be nuclear. I guess his point was that this worldwide Jewish conspiracy implanted the word Zion so that subconsciously the human race would be hypnotized to support Israel. You know, the truth is, I often get called by the worldwide Jewish conspiracy. I do. They ask me from time to time for an idea, for a thought. I give them some input. For example, it was my idea to get those British reporters to do a damaging profile on WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. You know, but to cover my tracks, I also arranged for Alan Dershowitz to join the legal team. I actually know these mysterious Jews who are secretly running the world. I've spoken with them. I can even tell you who they are. But I won't, because if I told you, I'd have to kill you. And then our old friend Louis Farrakhan. Here's what he said this week at the Nation of Islam National Convention, as he warned against the Jews who are trying to push the US into war against Muammar Gaddafi, whom Farrakhan called my brother and my friend. Zionists dominate the government of the United States of America and our banking system. Some of you think that I'm just somebody who's got something out for the Jewish people. You're stupid. Do you think I would waste my time if I didn't think that it was important for you to know about Satan? My job is to pull the cover off of Satan so that he will never deceive you and the people of the world again. You know, we Jews can be a bit sensitive about anti-Semitism, I concede, I confess. It might be that from time to time we overreact. But even paranoid people sometimes have enemies. What do you think? These five incidences in a week? What do you think? You think it's just coincidence? Does it mean anything? Are we overreacting? I don't even like to speak about anti-Semitism. It's a downer. I prefer to talk about the life of the spirit. But something is going on. No. I do think it's important not to overreact. And it's important to look at all the responses. Galeano was fired immediately and might even be prosecuted because what he said is actually a crime in France. He also issued an apology. Julian Assange was roundly taken to task and he claimed he was misquoted and misunderstood. Charlie Sheen was fired and apologized, sort of. The International Olympics Committee responded to the Iranians by saying that the 2012 logo contains only the numbers 2012. But one can't help to feel a bit discouraged nonetheless. There is still pervasive anti-Semitism in the world. No one knows the reasons. Anti-Semitism has remained one of history's most mysterious and unsolvable riddles. So I won't try to give the reasons because people way beyond my pay grade have dedicated their lives to trying to solve this mystery. I would note that we Jews have tried everything to heal the world of anti-Semitism. We have tried reason. We thought that they hated us because of ignorance. We said that the age of reason, the era of science, higher learning and education would melt Jew hatred away. That didn't work. We've tried assimilation. We would just blend into society. We would change our names, do a bit of cosmetic work, and even abandon Judaism. That didn't work. We've tried getting out of the way. The Zionists made this astonishing claim: if we simply take the Jews out of Europe and put them somewhere else so that Europeans don't have to see Jews every day, that will solve the Jewish question and eliminate anti-Semitism. That didn't work either. Much of the world sees Israel as the Jews of the nation. They say that they are not anti-Zionists. They say that they are anti-Zionists, but what they mean is, we still hate you Jews. You belong nowhere. Not in Europe, not in the Middle East. You do not belong. So we're still far away from solving this Jewish problem. But I want to say this. Natalie Portman, who is the public face of Christian Dior and changed her planned Dior attire on the eve of the Academy Awards, released a poignant statement. She said, "As an individual who is proud to be a Jew, I will not be associated with Mr. Galliano in any way. I hope that these terrible comments remind us to reflect upon and act upon combating these still existing prejudices that are the opposite of all that is beautiful." Which was a really nice observation about the baffling tendency of artists who produce such beauty and who have such ugly sentiments bottled up inside of them. Galliano produced what is called haute couture, high dressmaking or high fashion, and has such lowbrow sentiments. But I especially like the first part of what she said. As an individual who is proud to be a Jew. Be proud, Jews. Jews are industrious and successful. We believe in study and in learning. We are among America's most generous philanthropists. We are disproportionately active in every political and social cause under the sun. Whatever the causes of anti-Semitism may be, it is not because of what we have done, any more than a crime is the fault of a victim. In 1898, Mark Twain wrote a famous Harper's Magazine article. Much of it is still relevant today. Twain wrote, "The Jews constitute but 1% of the human race. Today, by the way, it is 0.15%, 13 million Jews out of 6 billion people." Twain said, "It suggests a nebulous, dim puff of stardust lost in the blaze of the Milky Way. Properly, the Jew ought hardly to be heard of. But he is heard of, he has always been heard of, he is as prominent on the planet as any other people. His contributions to the world's list of great names in literature, science, art, music, finance, medicine, and learning are also way out of proportion to the weakness of his numbers. He has made a marvelous fight in this world, in all the ages, and has done it with his hands tied behind him. The Egyptian, the Babylonian, the Persian rose, filled the planet with sound and splendor, then faded to dream stuff and passed away. The Greek and the Roman followed and made a vast noise, and they are gone. Other peoples have sprung up and held their torch high for a time, but it burned out, and they sit in twilight now or have vanished. The Jew saw them all, beat them all, and is now what he always was, exhibiting no decadence, no infirmities of age, no weakening of his parts, no slowing of his energies, no dulling of his alert and aggressive mind. And Twain concluded his essay with these words: "All things are mortal, but the Jew. All other forces pass, but he remains. What is the secret of his immortality?"